You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Corey, I guess let's get an update on Slavin, because he was out for a while, then he came back and played three games, and he's out again.
Yeah, first off, good New Year. Happy New Year. We haven't seen him, as the media anyway, on the ice yet. From what I understand, he's been out there a bit. So just kind of waiting to see when he gets back out there. Different from what, you know, he battled early in the year, which by all indications was a knee injury. They haven't really been forthright with that information, but he was wearing a knee brace during the off season and looked like he was never really fully up to speed. You know, obviously didn't play in the preseason before getting hurt early in the year. But then the hit by Greer in the Florida game, I think perhaps listed as upper body, perhaps a concussion. Again, they're not exactly spilling the beans on what's going on, but I think he's pretty close. You know, I think once he gets back on the, you know, in practice, he'll be able to turn it around pretty quickly, and that'll be obviously a huge, huge addition for them because, you know, they're playing two rookies right now on defense, one who they expected to play and one they didn't expect to play. So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. With that, he's obviously, you know, probably their most important player. So the fact they've been able to stay afloat without him and even stay atop the division is pretty impressive.
When you look at their goaltending situation, so Kochetkov sounds like he's done for the year. And, you know, Freddie Anderson has always had some concerns about, you know, how healthy he can be. You know, the waiver wire pickup, Brandon Boosie, you know, started out unreal and, you know, has maybe come down to earth here a little bit as of late. What do you envision in the goaltending department? Because when Freddie Anderson has played this year, Corey, he has not looked good at all. At least his numbers haven't. I don't know, maybe his environment's been that bad, but it seems odd considering the other Carolina goalies go. So what do you think they're going to do in net? Are they looking for a goalie here?
I don't think so. I think they're really impressed with Brandon Boosie. Obviously, now that we're past January 1st, I think we're probably going to see a contract extension come at some point. I know the teams have had talks with each other. They're really impressed with him. And last night was important for him. I mean, he had a tough outing against Montreal. It was really the first time he's kind of shown any kind of chink in the armor, I guess. And, you know, last night he was very good. He didn't have to be spectacular, but he was very good and kind of looked like he had before then. Now, you know, no goalie is going to win, you know, 95% of their games when they start or 90% of their games when they start. So, you know, you have to measure the expectations a little about what he's done and what he will be, but they're really impressed with him. And obviously he's got the size and, you know, he's just a really calm kid. As for Anderson, it's been a bit of a weird one. I don't, you know, we went through this a couple years ago with Antti Raanta here where the bottom just kind of fell out on his career and that was kind of the end of it. And it was a little shocking that he, you know, just kind of seemed to lose it. And that isn't the same feel I have here on Anderson. I think, you know, the numbers are bad. He hasn't been great, but I don't think he's been terrible in the way that, you know, Raanta really, really struggled at the end there. So, they obviously have to get him, you know, kind of going. He's got 9 games in a row without a win. That's not good, especially for a team that's, you know, at the top of the conference. The one good thing is, you know, they came into the season with, you know, kind of addressing the depth of the goalie situation by claiming Caden Primo, or not claiming, by trading for Caden Primo, lost him on waivers, end up claiming Boosie as a backup in case that happened. That worked out fabulously, and now they have Caden Primo again. So they do have another option, but, you know, I think they still believe that Anderson can, you know, fill in and be that kind of that 1B type of goalie. They don't really want to run one guy into the ground. So, you know, I think that's the hope. We'll see what happens. Obviously, losing Kochetkov hurts because he was playing pretty well, but he's been battling something all year.
Could, you guys picked up on waivers, Noah Phelps, former Edmonton Oiler. How's he doing since being acquired?
yeah, he played his first game last night. He looked pretty good. I, you know, nothing spectacular or anything, nothing stand out about his first performance, but they desperately needed a right-handed center who can win some draws, and he did that last night, helped out on the penalty kill a bit, another big body. He's, you know, he's not all that dissimilar, I would say, from Mark Jankowski, who they picked up last year at the trade deadline. So it gives you a little bit different look on that fourth line with a right-handed guy that they really, really wanted. Obviously, Jesperi Kotkaniemi's situation is still kind of in flux, and you know, he was a scratch last night in favor of those two guys. So you know, there's still something to be figured out there, whether there's another home for him somewhere that somebody might, you know, take a chance on him. But yeah, Noah Philp looked you know, he looked all right. We'll see how it goes. And you know, I know they were grateful to have a guy with some size, and like I said, right-handed center was a big thing for them.
Yeah, and, you know, so he'll play. I looked, he played like 10 minutes. I think he was like the fifth or sixth forward on the penalty kill. They actually had a lot of penalty kill minutes last night in that game. And so he is, do you see him having a long-term opportunity there? Or is it going to, obviously it's going to matter how he plays. Is it basically going to be him battling Jankowski for the fourth line center spot?
I think that's probably where this is headed because, you know, obviously they're on top of missing Slavin, they're missing Seth Jarvis, so yeah. They're missing another body up front, and Jarvis is back skating with the team, you know, in a no-contact jersey, but still inching closer to getting back. And I think that, you know, once he comes back now, the, you know, things get a little more crowded back there. So it will probably be between, you know, those two guys, like you mentioned, to have a chance to make an impression. Jankowski came in last year and was lights out. I mean, he couldn't miss. I think he scored on his first four shots as a Hurricane or something like that, and ended up scoring a bunch of goals. And it was, you know, the small sample size thing that everybody gets crazy about. And this year he hasn't really produced at all offensively. And, you know, for his size, he's not particularly physical. So I think they like a little more jam back there. So I think he's got a shot to take that job away. At the same time, you know, that's the kind of situation where I could see them looking elsewhere to kind of upgrade the forward group and maybe, you know, push somebody down, and you know, those guys could both be, you know, out of the mix.
What did you make of the decision? I saw a lot of Canes fans very upset that Nikishin got sat out for a night. You know, young rookie defenseman's played quite well, but hey, I've seen a lot of young guys, you know, need a reset. What did you make of that, Corey?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, you just, the fans have been kind of frothing at the mouth for him for 3 years, pretty much. So he's finally here, and, you know, the eye test on him is dazzling. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's physical, he's got a hard shot, all of those things. He just needs to learn the finer the finer points of, you know, and the thing Rod Brind'Amour brings up the most is, just, you can't take a moment at the NHL level. You know, you can't, as the term he always uses, you can't exhale. And, you know, it's not a matter of work ethic. I think it's just more a matter of understanding the level that, you know, he's at now. And you know, the KHL is a really good league. At the same time, if you look at the guys who lead the league in scoring in the KHL, it's often guys who couldn't get on the ice in the NHL. So I think, you know, it's a big step up in competition, and, you know, the language barrier has been a thing that they're trying to work through and just get him to, you know, learn all the systems and understand everything. You know, there was a play in that two games ago where clearly he made a mistake on the penalty kill when they blew the lead to Colorado. And you could see Tim Gleason, the who runs the defense, he wasn't pleased with what happened there, and Brind'Amour mentioned it after the game that, you know, the defense, you know, we got some young guys who are kind of learning on the fly. And so right now they don't really have the luxury of sitting him out, I would say, with, you know, with what they've been dealing with. He's played really well. He's one of the top rookies in the league, in my opinion, but, you know, they're working with him. They're trying to get him to the right place. The team has a good track record with young guys, I would say, under Brind'Amour, guys like Jarvis, guys like Blake. They've done a really good job with that. This is a little different. It's a young defenseman who, you know, he's been one of the best players in his league for a few years now. And there's probably a little bit of, you know, hey, we know you're good, but let's make sure you're NHL good.
They went out and got Rantanen last year. I think everybody in Carolina knows that they would like a big game shooter, and they went out and got Rantanen. It didn't work. Do you see them being the same aggressive leading up to the deadline this year? Is there any names you think they're targeting?
I think they're going to surprise us again. That's my best guess. It seems like that's kind of what they do. That's how Eric Tulski operates a little bit, is trying to really, surprise the league a bit. The Rantanen thing came out of nowhere last year. That was kind of a shock. And I think, you have to find the right piece. You don't just, fans want the guys who have scored 40 goals in the past and don't do it anymore, or, guys with big, albatross contracts that they think, if we add him, we're good. But, they're very, very smart with their salary cap. It's what has made, given them the flexibility to, do these moves they've done, whether it's been, having the cap space to do it, or, more importantly, being really smart with their assets and being willing to give up. There's a lot of Hurricanes prospects around the league that got traded away because they used them as assets to get, the Jake Gensels of the world, the Mikko Rantanens of the world, things like that. So, I think they're always in on everything. A day doesn't go by that when, a big name comes up, you hear, well, the Hurricanes were around it, because they're in on everything.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised. I think they've decided, hey, we got to be big swingers, and why not? They've got a lot of pieces in place, so use it. Corey, really appreciate this, man. Have a great day. Talk to you again soon.